Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you have a Bible question or a topic of interest you'd like to discuss with us? Well, give us a call right now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And we've just been receiving a lot of wonderful emails from people and Christmas cards from people wishing us a Merry Christmas. Wanted to spend a few minutes just sharing a few, and yeah. I think you will be encouraged by these as well. Had this one from Mark. It says, "Thanks, Merry Christmas to you also. Good news of great joy, Christ in us." Wow, yeah. It's awesome. I love that. I love that email.
Yeah.
And then we had one from Paul. "Thank you all for always sharing the fullness of the gospel." Another one wrote to us and said, "Love getting my emails every day, wishing you a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year." Mm-hmm. And he is referring to our daily e-devotional. So we put out a devotional every single morning. And if you are not on our mail list to get those, we encourage you to go to our website and sign up to get these daily e-devotionals. A lot of people are being encouraged by those, and we want you to have those as well. And then we got this one from David, and I had to chuckle at this. Obviously, he doesn't listen to our program very often. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written this to us. He said this,
okay, you are
all wrong. Jesus was not born in December. Christmas is a pagan holiday. Tell the truth.
Oh, gosh.
And if you've listened and you know, to us, you understand that we have said this over and over and over again. Scour the pages of the New Testament. You will not find December 25th anywhere recorded in the Bible, in the Word of God, nor will you find the exact birth date of Jesus Christ. We see a time frame in which he was born. We know the historical context. We know the place. We know all of those important facts. We don't know the exact day. We do know that December 25th had some ties to pagan rituals.
Yeah.
But at a point in time, that was co-opted to be a date that we would celebrate. So no one is giving honor to a date. But we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He was born.
He was.
He did come into this world, as John wrote, and he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus walked among us. He shared in our flesh and blood. The Christmas story is true. Now, December 25th has nothing to do with it.
Right.
It's just the time that we step back and reflect on the time when Christ entered into our world so that we could become a part of his story.
So David, tisk, tisk.
That's right. That's right. I would encourage, if anybody wants some more information about this, I've put up a video on our website. And it answers the question, should Christians celebrate Christmas?
Right.
And it's in response to people like David. So if you're interested in that, it is available at our website at basicgospel.net. Just scroll down a little bit. You'll see the video there. Just click that and enjoy the 3 minutes that I've put together on why we can celebrate the story of Christ's birth, not on a particular day of the year, but every day of the year, because it is such good news. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord.
He is indeed. And friends, we're glad that you're with us today. If you have a question, we love hearing from you, our listeners, whether you write to us or call and leave a message on our system or whatever the situation might be. We love hearing from you. And as Bob mentioned in a recent email, we have an awesome privilege of sharing the gospel message with listeners literally around the world through the daily radio program and by internet on our YouTube channel and our Facebook video platform. And 2017 has been a wonderful, wonderful year, and we look forward to seeing what God has planned for to do through Basic Gospel in calendar year 2018. And we're counting on you, our friends, to join with us as we look forward to this new new opportunities in this new year to share Jesus, as we said, literally across the planet. But time is getting short for those of you who want to make a tax-deductible year-end gift to Basic Gospel. Only a little over 4 days remains to get your most generous donation and help Basic Gospel be prepared to start 2018 ready to say yes to new opportunities. And we have some on the tables, friends, that are exciting opportunities, and we want to step into those as we can. So donate now if you can. BasicGospel.net. There's a prominent donate link right there on the homepage. You can do that by phone at 844-322-2742. That number is available 24 hours daily, 844-322-2742. You can give by mail to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Hebron is spelled H-E-B-R-O-N. Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also get through the Basic Gospel app and through PayPal. So anyway, Bob, is a great way to give to Basic Gospel,
yes,
and give through
did.
Basic Gospel. We had an email question, Bob. This is from Ryan. It concerns a passage in James. He says, a passage by James, the term brethren seems to be implying that death could be the outcome of sins. Is this talking to a mixed bag of believers and unbelievers, or just what is the situation in that particular passage?
Well, he's referring to the passage at the end of the book of James, and we've just read a bunch in chapter 5 about, is anyone suffering among you? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He talks about Elijah and how he prayed and all of those sort of things. And we want our prayers to be like Elijah's, for sure. And then he, it seems to be a segue, but he says this, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Mm-hmm. So he's asking about the word brothers. Is this a word that means Christians? Is James specifically talking about Christians? And I say no to that simply because he goes on and says, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner. So the Word of God is very consistent in the New Testament. When it's speaking of Christians, it uses the words, my little children, it mm-hmm. uses saints, it uses holy ones. It never refers to believers using the term sinner.
Yeah.
But it does talk about those who are lost. So somebody that wanders from the truth is somebody that has kind of looked at it and said, I'm moving on. I'm going a different direction. Mm-hmm. And so if you see somebody like that and you turn him away from his wandering, well, what does that mean? You turn him away from that life of sin to new life in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. then you have saved his soul from death, and that will cover over a multitude of sins. That will put him in a new direction, and everything changes for him. So I think this is a very evangelistic passage.
Yeah.
And we meet people like that. And when it says brethren, that word brother is actually the term for brother,
mm-hmm.
in the same family. So it has different applications. So for James, it could have been, if anyone sees one of your Jewish brothers, you've known him, you've grown up with him, and you've been trying to share the truth, and he wanders away from that, and you can turn him back, praise God,
yeah.
because now he's a brother on a different level. He's a brother in Christ, mm-hmm. and that's eternal. That's an eternal relationship.
Sure.
So I don't think we need to be baffled by that term brothers. And I think when it says sinners and you put those two together, you understand exactly who he's talking to and the purpose of reaching out to him.
Yeah.
So that they can experience new life in Christ Jesus.
Brian, thanks for your question, and we appreciate hearing from you. We appreciate hearing from all of you. If you have a question, drop us a note at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742. You can do that right now, as a matter of fact, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Well, hello. You kind of caught me off guard. If we are faithful and just to ask God to forgive us of our sins, and you and somebody called about that question about a year ago and you answered it, and I couldn't understand the answer, and is it for a lost person or a saved person? What's it pertaining to?
Well, Mary Jo, good question. You're referencing 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I believe, and many others believe, that this is a passage that is to the lost, not to the saved. So why I say that is based on what John wrote in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That doesn't describe a Christian. It describes a lost person. A lost person says they have no sin. A lost person is deceiving themselves and saying that, and as a result, the truth is not in them. And then in verse 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, we know that if we're believers, we have Christ living in us. Christ is the word of God. And if we have Christ living in us, then the truth is in us. And as John later writes in his second letter, he says this truth will be in us forever. So based on those things, we believe this is a passage to the lost. And so if a lost person confesses their sins, now we're not sure that a lost person is going to confess their sins or not, but if they do, they're going to discover that God is faithful and just and to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, if they confess their sins, yes.
Yes. So what does that mean, Mary Jo? It means that they are basically agreeing that they need a Savior. So if you confess your sins, if you're saying, hey, I'm a sinner, I have done these things, then you are confessing that you need a Savior and that you're going to find Jesus to be that faithful and just Savior. The one that will forgive, the one that forgives, the one that cleanses.
Well, why do so many people that go to church use that verse? If we are faithful and just to, I can't. It's 1 John 1:9.
Well, they look at it as a bar of soap. So every time we sin, we feel a little guilty, and so we want to wash ourselves clean from that guilt and shame. And so we throw up a confession to God, hoping that that's going to cleanse us. But our confession doesn't cleanse us. Our confession doesn't bring about forgiveness. That all comes through the blood of Jesus. So once we've believed in the blood of Jesus, once we've trusted in the finished work of Christ, we receive that forgiveness he provided. We're cleansed of all unrighteousness, and we'll stay cleansed forever simply because of the blood of Jesus. So I think folks are not realizing that they are clean.
I used to sit in church, Bob, and you might have heard this as well. I used to sit there after I came to Christ. I was, without question, was in Christ, but I heard the pastor continually every Sunday just pounding the pulpit. You know, you need to confess your sins. You need to get right with God. You need to do that. I finally figured out after I got into my Bible and studied for a while that he wasn't talking to me.
Right. That's exactly
just
right.
Just wasn't talking to me. That's he was talking to those who had not come, had not placed faith, and not received the life of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So here's the good news for you, Mary Jo, because you are in Christ, you are forgiven and cleansed forever. That's good news, isn't it?
You're saved by his life.
That's exactly right. You're saved by his life. So you're clean, you're forgiven, and that's an eternal state for you because of that life of Christ. Okay?
It's still a bit fuzzy, but I'm thankful that you all preach the good news, the true good news, that Christ was in us, not counting our sins against us.
That's exactly right, Mary Jo, and that's why this passage in 1 John 1:9 can't be to a believer. It has to be to an unbeliever. Okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, we do. Yeah. Friends, we're a little over 4 days away from the end of the year and the tax deadline for 2017 gifts, and we still have a way to go. And as we entered December, we needed, $157,000 as we entered this month, that was just to clear our budget. And we're hoping to see that need shattered and exceeded so we can take this message, the message that has made a difference in your lives, into new areas where new listeners can hear of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bob, I think we have some good news to share. We still have a way to go, but some good news to share as far as how much we need.
Yeah, that number has been whittled down to 45,000. So thank you for your generosity.
Wow.
Thank you for your faithfulness to the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for investing in the power of the gospel to change lives.
Yeah.
That is so exciting to have such a group of people standing together and saying, we want to deliver the good news of Jesus Christ to as many people as possible.
Yeah.
Well, with just, some pushing and being generous here over the last 3 or 4 days, I think we will see this additional $45,000
yeah.
raised, and we'll be ready to take on new opportunities in 2018. So
yeah.
We're looking forward to all that God brings our way next year, and this next 4 days is critical mm-hmm. in seeing what those are going to be.
Yeah, so friends, join us with us. If you can, go to basicgospel.net, click that donate button, and when you do, you'll receive a copy of When God Tore the Curtain, our gift back to you. Also, you can call 844-322-2742 to support Basic Gospel. Again, that's 844-322-2742. You can use PayPal, and you can use the Basic Gospel app, and we would love for you to join us as a partner in this message that we call Basic Gospel every day. Question from Jay in Grosse Pointe Farms in Michigan. He says, Bob, I need your help with Daniel 2:44. And it reads, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. Jay says that he believes that the God's kingdom was established when the Word became flesh, but he would like your viewpoint on that as well.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, Jesus is the King. He is the Lord. It says that a part of the salvation experience is that we have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son whom God loves. So this gospel message really is a tale of two kingdoms. So Jesus is the rightful heir to the throne of David. In his ascension, he's really taken over that throne, and he is ruling and reigning through us individually and through the body of Christ corporately. And there's going to be a point in time later on where, you know, he is going to descend in the same way that he ascended, and everything will be on earth as it is in heaven, as that new Jerusalem comes down, and we will be living with him forever. But this kingdom is in operation today. It is in operation through us, his body.
Mm-hmm.
We are a kingdom of priests, declaring the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we see this kingdom in action today. It's ruled by grace. We reign in grace, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5. So yes, Christ is the King. He was there 2,000 years ago among the people, and he said the kingdom is near, referring to himself. And I think when he ascended, that kingdom became an organism here on planet Earth called the body of Christ.
Jay, thanks for your question. We loved hearing from you. Another question from LaVue says, in our Bible study, my wife and I read Genesis 2:15, which says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it up, to dress it and keep it. Since we are originally from Romania, he says, we read the Romanian version as well. In our version, this verse 15 ends, and guard it. So my question is not easy, he says. What do you think Adam needed to guard it from? We've never gotten that question before.
No, I don't think we have. So here's what it says. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. We know the story. We know what happened, Satan, in the form of a crafty serpent, stood by that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and made it look desirous to Adam and Eve, and so they partook. And after that, they felt shame. They realized their nakedness. They clothed themselves in fig trees. That was the first...
Fig leaves, yeah.
Yeah, fig leaves, the first religious act that was ever done. And they hid themselves from God. But God found them, and in talking with them and dealing with them, he banned them from the garden. And so I think if there was anything as far as in keeping it, it would be in following this relationship, enjoying this relationship that they had with God the Father from the beginning,
yeah.
A relationship based on love. But I've always taken this that he's to work it and to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
That was his joy as a human being, to work and keep this garden. That was a part of his contentment as a human being.
Well, he was mentioning that one of the versions said, and guard it. It ended with the word guard. And,
that's the Romanian version.
Yes, right.
Yeah, that's what he says in the Romanian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I would say if it has anything to do with guarding it, it would be to... realized that it was a gift to him,
right?
From God's hand to his.
Yeah.
So this wasn't something to just take for granted. This was something to enjoy and to work in and to make sure that no one stole that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Satan does. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
Yes, and he does his job well.
He does indeed.
Well, we appreciate all these wonderful questions, and if you have questions that you need answered, you can call the number 844-322-2742. You can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. If you have our Basic Gospel app, you can send an email question to us via the app. So there's lots of ways that you can ask your questions, and that's why we're here, to really... take these questions and run them through the filter of God's love and grace. There is so much confusion out there in Christendom today. And the reason there's so much confusion is because we don't have the basics right. We've never come to grips with the finished work of Jesus Christ. We've never come to grips with the fact that he has declared us righteous, that he has given us himself and has forgiven all of our sins. And we're here to help connect people to the very basics of the Christian faith. And your dollars are helping connect thousands of people around the world to the saving life of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're asking you to invest in Basic Gospel. That's why we're asking you to help extend the borders of Basic Gospel Nation so that we can reach more and more people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob, for that explanation. And friends, we encourage you to click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift. Again, basicgospel.net. You can also call to make your gift, the number 844-322-2742. You hear it every day, 844-322-2742. You can send your donation to Basic Gospel by regular mail at 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's 751 Hebron Parkway, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. You can also use the Basic Gospel app, or you can donate through PayPal if you live outside the U.S. or Canada. Anyway, it's a great way to join us in this partnership that we call Basic Gospel. Bob calls it Basic Gospel Nation. I like that. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.